Amen to that. That's really why we're here this morning. We come to church on Sunday morning primarily to worship and praise God. So what we do here, what we share here, what we talk about here, what we read here, what we sing here, becomes something sweet to God's ear. That we're here to please God. We're to celebrate what God's doing in our lives. That's what He's called us to be as the church. That's what He's always called His people to be and to do when they gather together. First and foremost, we're to worship a God who loves us enough that He allowed His Son to die on a cross for your life, for mine. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be the church. We've been talking about the great needs of the community around us and whether we're fulfilling our task as the people of God by reaching out to the community. Whether we're inviting people to come to church with us so they can hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. They can be a part of celebrating on Sunday morning. You know, I've had times in my ministry in the past, we had people so excited about what God was doing in their lives, we just didn't have time for a sermon. And that's a good thing, that God is actively moving in people's lives. And in the sharing time, they're just so overflowing with joy that is a sermon in itself. Why? Because like the song just taught us, that is sweet to the ears of the Lord to hear that. That's what it's all about, to worship. We're not really primarily here to do Bible study. Although we read the Word and hear the Word preached, that's not our primary purpose. That's something a little extra. We're here to praise God, to glorify God by who we are and what He's doing in our lives. And that's what is going to make it exciting enough for us to reach out and invite people to come to church. Not just inviting our friends, although that's a good way to start. But you don't necessarily want to pull somebody out of another church. But if people aren't going to church regularly and they want to experience a new way to be in the presence of God, yeah, that's the person in particular you want to invite. You want to reach out to people that you share with at work and at play and at school, people who aren't going to church. Just a little key when you're inviting people, don't ever ask anybody if they're a member of a church. Ask them, are you going to church regularly? If not, why don't you come with me next Sunday? Because if you ask them if they're a member, they'll be like a lot of people in this church. We got 300 people on the roll and maybe 100 people coming. You don't want to ask them if they're a member. You want to ask them, are you attending church regularly? If not, come with me. Come worship the Lord with me. That's how to invite them. And then we'll have a crowd. And we've learned from Rick Warren and other churches like Willow Creek, one of the mega churches that has grown so quickly. A couple of Methodist churches are, I always have trouble getting this in, Gingham'sburg. Isn't that a mouthful? That's a Methodist church in Ohio that had 60 members and now has about 2,000 or more a weekend. They've had to go to services Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to meet the needs of all of the people coming there to worship and the crowd that comes with them. The people in the crowd who aren't members but are coming to celebrate with church members about what the Lord's doing in their lives. Or Fraser Memorial Church in Montgomery, Alabama, which is several thousand strong and has really grown. That they attract a crowd, and their people share their excitement when they get together and they worship God. And people become members of the church. They become a part of the community of faith. And remember last week when we talked about this, I shared that the members in Rick Warren's church have to make a covenant and a commitment. And they commit to protect the unity of the church by acting in love towards other members, refusing to gossip, and to follow their leaders. I decided trying to get people not to gossip was like trying to hold back an avalanche or a flood. So the other night when we were sharing in our lay leadership team meeting, I got a new idea. I was inspired by all of the good things that came out during the fellowship connection. These little things you don't know about people, and you'll never learn on Sunday morning because we don't have the time to interact. But when you come to those connection meetings, we have time to talk to each other and learn things about them like we've learned about Gail. Now, what they didn't tell you is Gail has never been to a live wrestling match. Is that correct? And she's open to an invitation from anyone to take her to a live wrestling match. Yeah, professional wrestlers. Okay, not just any wrestling. You don't want Olympic Greco-Roman, I'm sure. Okay, but if any of you like to go to professional wrestling matches, we learn that about Gail in our fellowship connection. You learn interesting things about people. You know, people get married to the same person three times. It's fun. It's exciting. You have time to learn those things. So I decided that taking a note from the idea to perk your interest, that I'm going to give up on trying to stop people from gossiping and ask you to do positive gossiping. You know, if you just got to gossip, say something positive about somebody and spread it around. You know, the other day I heard a piece of gossip. Actually, it was last Sunday here in the church. And what's really bad about negative gossip is we think something's going on, so we come up with an explanation for it. And then before long, we put somebody's name with it. And somebody started talking some gossip about hot dogs. And of all things, they identified somebody in some missing hot dogs that had nothing at all to do with it. You know why? Because I checked it out and I asked. Because when I heard it, I knew it wasn't true. But, you know, if you're going to spread gossip and make up something about someone, do it right. Say something positive about them. I mean, if you're going to make up something positive about somebody that's not true and spread that around. And you see, that builds up the body of Christ. That's what people are pledging to do in Rick Warren's church. And, you know, we ought to be responsible about that kind of pledge. Also, share responsibilities of the church by praying for growth, inviting unchurched people attend, and warmly welcoming the visitors. Serve the ministry of the church by discovering your gifts and talents, being equipped to serve, and developing a servant's heart. That's what the scripture was talking about this morning, where we make our commitment, where we've been, where we want to go. That before we were wrapped up in a life of sin, before we became Christians, and we turn our backs on that, we come to something new that gives us a good life right now, but promises us eternal life, which will be absolutely wonderful in the future. And the last covenant commitment everyone has to sign and make is support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, living a good life, and giving regularly. Now, that's to be a member. That's their minimum, and people have to sign a contract to do that in the kind of churches I've mentioned, the four churches I've mentioned. They have to make a covenant commitment. It's always amazed me that civic organizations right here in this town, right here in this community, require more of their members than most churches do. And if you don't live up to it, you're out. And you know, that's the same way it is at Rick Warren's church, I know. I'm not sure about Willow Creek and the others, But, you know, if you don't tend often enough, if you're not faithful to those vows, then you're off the membership roll. But he goes to another level. And that's really what Paul was talking about here in this scripture this morning, is that we've got to make a commitment. Just like we're really making a commitment, as I taught with the children, we make a pledge of allegiance to the flag. We're making a commitment when we join the church, but we're asked to go to a deeper level of commitment, and that's what Rick Warren does in his church. He asks people to make a deeper level of commitment, and he calls those the committed in the church. And in his church, at the time he wrote The Purpose-Driven Church, where he had 5,000 members attending per Sunday, 70% of those members, 3,500, had signed a commitment covenant. They were committed, and they were going a step beyond membership. And you know what that requires? Daily quiet time with the Lord, reading scriptures and praying. Tithing, giving 10% of your income, and active involvement in a weekly small group home meeting. That we don't grow as Christians outside of fellowship of small groups if we're not living up to the responsibility of the church, following God's commandments. In Methodist Men this morning, Calvin reminded that us of that. Our prayers aren't answered. We're not living up to the commitment to God. We're not honoring our commitment. So why should God honor his commitment and hear our prayers? We're not doing our side. In other words, we bring unanswered prayers on ourselves because we're not willing to do what goes along with prayer, and that is commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. If you want more of your prayers answered, live up to the commandments. Live up to the claims. Be committed to what God calls us to be. And you know, the best way to do that is that morning prayer time. Last spring in our covenant group that we had here, one morning, I started to say, I don't know why it comes at morning, but I guess I do. Because I give 45 minutes to an hour or more to my quiet time and my scripture reading and my prayer life, that becomes probably the most creative time of the day for me. God sometimes just floods my mind with creative ideas, and I came in one morning so excited and shared with that group about how God had laid on my heart a way to write a book for children about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I figure a lot of adults probably need that too. But, you know, being a granddad with an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 22-month-old, you know, my thought is, you know, how do you get a child to understand the difference in knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus personally? And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are adults that don't know the answer to that. And Julie Griffin and Gail and others were gathered around that table. And I remember Julie specifically saying, make a commitment to me that you will write that book. Well, I've gotten all of the dialogue done, Julie. I've got to do some others and work on the illustrations. And I read it to my mother and my brother and sisters. I got my daughter Lisa to read one part, and I read the other part, and my two grandchildren yesterday when we got together and asked for their input. So I've got that much done. And it's just when you have that committed prayer time, that committed time to listen to God speaking to you from his holy word, other things start happening in your life. You figure out ways to solve the problems that you're dealing with personally and as a family. You not only solve those problems, but extra stuff comes to you because you're opening up a channel between you and God. And God wants to speak to us. As a matter of fact, the name of the first book, I decided to do three books. The first book is meet my invisible friend. You know, John had an invisible friend when he was a little fella, and he blamed all kinds of stuff on that invisible friend. But this invisible friend is real. His name is Jesus. And he doesn't just want to be an invisible friend to little kids. He wants to be an invisible friend to all of us. He told us in the Gospel of John, you know, I don't call you my disciple, my servant anymore. I call you my friend. Do you really experience Jesus as an invisible friend that's walking with you every moment of the day, available to you every minute of the day, there to help you and assist you with the good things in life every moment of every single day? Do you know Jesus that way? Oh, I want my granddaughters to know Jesus that way. I said the second book will be how to talk to Jesus, how to have that regular quiet time, that prayer life, and then to learn to just talk to him all through the day. As Jesus comes to you, as you think about Jesus, to give him those stressful problems at work, to ask him to help you with those difficult situations in the family, to help you meet the challenge of those people in the other group at school who are putting you down, making fun of you, or putting pressure on you, that Jesus is right there. And then the third book for kids would be How Jesus Talks to Me. And that's how the scripture is the way Jesus talks to us. Coming to worship is how Jesus talks to us. Being with other Christians, which fulfills that third part of the commitment covenant, that you're in relationship with a small group weekly. A commitment to a group of people who are going to help you grow as a Christian and stay on the right track. Do you know we're one of the few nations in the world as Christians, we have Lone Ranger Christianity. We think you can be a Christian all by yourself. You don't find that on the continent of Africa. You don't find that in Asia, the two places where Christianity is really growing. You don't find that in South America, where the Christian faith is growing tremendously. Maybe the one reason we're not growing in the United States, except for some of these key churches, is we think you can be a Christian all by yourself. See, Christianity has very little to do with what you believe intellectually. Do you know that? We've been taught that too in the American school system. It's all about what you know up here. It's not about what you believe, it's about how you behave. Because if your beliefs don't travel the 12 or 14 inches from your head to your heart, you're not going to behave like a Christian. If you don't behave like a Christian, it's just stuff. What you say you believe is just stuff, useless stuff, unless it's changing your everyday behavior. Unless you're developing holy habits, you're not going to develop Christian character. So these people at this next level, 70% of his church are in a daily quiet time with the Lord, reading scripture and praying. 70% of his congregation are tithing, giving 10% or more to the church. Lord, if we had that here, we'd have to have meetings on how we were going to spend it. Instead of saying, well, how are we going to save a little bit here and how are we going to save a little bit there? And finally, they're active in a weekly home meeting where people who want to learn and grow in Christ are helping each other move forward. Would you be counted as one of the committed in a church like that? Are you really one of the committed for this church? Even though we don't have to sign a covenant like that? Or are you just still part of the crowd and on the roll? For us to be a great church, we've got to have great people committed to a great God who's going to bless us and make our lives so much better if we'll just make the commitment. Eldon Trueblood, a pastor around the turn of last century, had a great name for the church. He called it the Company of the Committed. That the church is the company of the committed. You see, the church becomes great through commitment, not through committees. What is your commitment to this church, to the Church of Jesus Christ? Are you among the committed? Let us pray. Gracious Father, oh, how you're looking for commitment. You're just looking for ways to bless our lives if we will walk in your path. You have just got untold number of solutions for the problems of our lives, our marriages, our families, our schoolwork, work on the job, to make our retirement more enjoyable and more fulfilling. Every kind of issue in our lives, you've got answers if we'll just make the right connection. Oh God, help us to be among the committed, that we can give to you what you require of us, and we can receive the immeasurable blessings that you want to pour out upon us. Help us to truly be committed to your church, that we can be a part of the great congregation right here at St. Matthew's. We ask your blessings upon us, that we can make this commitment, develop holy habits so that we can grow into the image and likeness of Christ our Lord. Amen.